one calling out for a little bit of unity.
Unity!
Welcome. Welcome back. And check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and join us in the relatively little busy chat room for this time of the day. And I can only put that down to my fabulous guest, Dr. Bill Deagle. They seem to swarm like moths to the flame. And
hopefully not radioactive flame. We're living here in South North County, and we're getting lots of Fukushima.
Well, which means there's no such thing as non-radioactive flame at the moment, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm certain. One of the messages that came through, of course, on my Skype was one of the listeners that listened to me think something big is about to pop. Well, I'm not going to give you absolutes unless I know absolutes, but some of the Twitter, if you want to call it the chatter that's going on, is that there's an impending large quake going to strike the New Madrid system that has 25 Mark I-style Westinghouse reactors sitting on this fault line area. Old reactors that should have been shut down years ago. And in the midst of these floods, and they want a natural disaster in America because the American public is getting too pesky and they need to move up to the next level where they don't just have terahertz body scanners in airports. They want them in shopping centers and they want them in the bus stations. So if you want to go shopping or travel, you have to bend over to the anatomically abnormally long index-fingered TSA jackbooted thug that's going to do an internal body cavity search before you can go searching through the shopping center for whatever you want to buy. Now, people say, that can't happen. They want that to happen in America. In fact, the biggest growth industry in America is policing Americans.
It is. There are collapsible mobile guard towers being put outside Walmarts all across the U.S. There are these massive digital screens. The if you see something, say something campaign. You know, big sis from Homeland Frickin' Security. Homeland Security. Just like Deutschland. Oh, yes, man. We got to wipe out the communist terrorists.
Well, you know, they actually designated Walmarts as being distribution centers for food in case of national emergency. And you're right. I actually got the plans by internal security people that passed this to me from the U.S. Postal Service. And all these major postal exchange or sorting centers right across America actually have civil detention and questioning rooms with torture chambers and everything. And I actually got the plans. And I talked about this some years ago on my show. But as I say, most of the time I only talk about 10% of it because unless we get us some humor, I can't get deep into this, but people shut down. They're almost like someone in the dental chair that's had too many dental procedures, and they go into shock, or they actually pass out on you. Because they think they freeze. They think no, you can't be telling the truth because you speak too fast. You have too many facts. My brain can't lie to myself quickly enough to shut them down. So what do I do?
That everybody who's actually trying to put the truth out there is having a real hard time. Like, nobody's actually got it easy. Everybody finds it a real hard struggle because they're discriminated against from every conceivable direction, from their own family.
Oh, absolutely. There's
Patriot infighting. There's COINTELPRO setups, you know. I mean,
absolutely.
Is anybody having a good time in the truth movement, man? No wonder we need to laugh about it, man.
Yeah, we do, and the reason why people like me exist is because I've got an internal genetic personality disorder. I don't give a damn what people think about me, including my relatives and family. And if they want to come kicking and screaming into reality once they realize that the damn mess is happening, that's fine. But I'm a leader. I'm not a follower. I'm absolutely inoculated against and immunized against the idea that I have to kiss people's butts or be Mr. Nice Guy, Doctor. And it's not Dr. Doom. It's Dr. Get off your ass and stop complaining that things are bad and fix it. If we had a tiny minority of the population to walk up and realize both the banking thing and the depleted uranium and the crazy vaccines and the financial system, this problem would be over in a weekend. We would wake up on Monday morning and the birds would chirp and the sun would shine and all of a sudden we'd have real money. We wouldn't be breathing depleted uranium. We wouldn't be having body cavity searches and terahertz scanners. We wouldn't have bank collapses starving the third world. We wouldn't be at fear of the bomb, like duck and cover when I was a kid, we'd practice it. We would have a real world. So I got your message here that you want to open it up to open lines. I'm ready to answer any question that anybody wants to ask about health. Again, they can listen to my show Monday to Friday, 2 to 5 Pacific, 12 to 3 Pacific, 2 to 5 Central, 3 to 6 Eastern in America, broadband worldwide, K-band satellite, North and South America, ABC affiliates, and micro-broadcasters all over the country and as far away already as Western Australia rebroadcast in Europe. But we need more, and that's why I'm going to hope that we can get more people out there that will not only listen to your show, but listen to my show, and they'll get off their butt, stop complaining, stop whining, start cracking humorous jokes, start doing real things, rather than waiting till the next shoe falls and all hell breaks loose.
Well, you know, people are always worried about that time when all hell breaks loose. They're worried about that time that genocide will start being committed against the population. And I got news for everybody, you know, it is in progress. It is already being done.
It is in full. It's capo.
It has never been in such full swing as it is right now because it's being done to everybody simultaneously in 1,000 different ways at every hour of the day and night.
Well, it's like being people in Santorini, and Thera's just blown, and someone's at the shop down there at the little, you know, buying vegetables for their dinners. This is 3,600 years ago. And they don't realize someone's tugging on their garments and saying, look over your shoulder. And they said, don't bother me. I'm trying to get the right haggle for the right price of vegetables. And there's a 150-foot wall of water waiting to wipe out them and their civilization. And people don't get it. And it always makes me laugh and cry at the same time that people want to attack the messenger because they don't want to get it. And all they needed to do is to get to high ground and the wave wouldn't get them. But they don't want to have someone tug on their shoulder and say, you know, it's time to maybe we should run up to high ground. But they don't want to do it.
Can I ask you, Bill, what are some of the most grueling and experiences that you've had through your course in this level of discourse? Because, you know, I'm pretty sure you must have been set up and called a whole bunch of names, even attempted to be killed.
Cliff High called me a CIA agent for WebBot. I'm thinking, Cliff, why do you do that? If you really truly were doing what's called, I call it electronic necromancy. In other words, you're plumbing the spiritual subconscious by taking keywords out of the internet using various forms of scattergrams and correlative algorithms for, and you see Dr. Deagle's name linked up with special agencies. Maybe you might be clued into the fact that I'm under constant surveillance, constant threats of death, constant harassment, and I've had some of the most vile attacks. I mean, I don't care. What I do care about is not so much the vile attacks as that someone else might not believe the plain truth I'm telling about dangerous vaccines and fluoride or depleted uranium because some moron says something. They Googled Dr. Deagle and got 23 million hits and said Dr. Deagle is A, B, and C, which I don't need to repeat.
The worst part of it is that you're not experiencing it just from the slaves. You're getting it from your own people as well.
Well, yeah, the problem is, you see, the truth or infighting is one of the issues. Now, the truth or infight, I think, it needs to be on a battlefield of issues, not personalities. In other words, I may not agree with somebody else, but I want to hear their opinion on why they believe it. And then they should also hear mine. And we're going to advance if we do that. But what we often see is some people will kind of say, well, yeah, I got the absolute truth. I got this reliable source on such and such a date. Armageddon's going to happen. I'm thinking, please don't do that. Give me something that's more solid I can bite my teeth into that I can tell people. Like, for example, I get people all freaked out and say, well, because there's so much stuff bad going on, I can't prepare. I said, look, what can you do? Number one, do you drink soda? I ask them, I start off with little tiny questions. They said, yeah, I drink soda. And well, why? I said, do you keep the bottles? They said, well, no, not really. I throw them in the trash. I said, why don't you wash them out and stack them in your closet so that if the water mains are shut down and there's no electricity, you got water for 3 weeks in your closet. And they look at me like, oh, I could do that. Or, did you ever buy junk silver, I tell them. I say, what's that? That's pre-1963 dimes that are like $2.90 a dime. But if you buy a bunch of them, you could buy food if all of a sudden money is worth nothing and you have to have a wheelbarrow of whatever paper currency you have to buy a loaf of bread. Or, do you have canned goods and frozen food or dehydrated food? You have even the cheapest ones. Even if you don't dehydrate, can you bring it down to, say, a place where you can get it dehydrated and store it under, you know, nitrogen or whatever? yeah, I could do that. I said, well, you need to start doing these things because there's going to be spasms, like birth pangs, that are going to hit us, whether it's in America or New Zealand. And the people in Christchurch were totally taken aback. They thought, well, we got over that big earthquake. We're fine now. No, you're on thixous tropic soil that becomes liquid. You're right beside a giant caldera, which is the Christchurch Harbor, which is literally a volcanic caldera. And you should know, just like the Japanese building giant reactors sitting on a subduction zone and, you know, earthquake central, that they better be prepared. So when you take a sharp pencil and start cutting and cutting and cutting, and you don't remember the previous cuts you did, don't be surprised when you got paper-thin pipes that can't stand the pressure and you can't vent off the hydrogen and your reactor blows up and all of a sudden you've gone Fukushima. So the infighting to me is one that needs to happen with facts. Now there's... People are all into turf wars and ego wars. I'm not into that garbage. I want people to examine the facts and then do something else. They need to go quietly aside and pray, which means you just get quiet enough to think, oh, is this really true or not? You don't need to go to some ashram or some statue or do some ceremony or animal sacrifice. You need to pray to the Most High God that whatever the heck is they've been received in terms of logic, because you don't leave your brain at the door, that it's true or not. And then do something. Don't do anything, but just do something. It means go and complain to your city council you don't want fluoridation in your water. Go to your school board and say, I'm not going to let my kid get vaccinated. Join a group of pro se litigants and file an action to recall a senator or congressman who's doing stuff to screwing over your state or your business or whatever. But do something. If everybody did something in whatever country, the problem would be solved in a few heartbeats. In a couple weekends, we'd say, gee, that was a bad case of New World Order. Now it's over. But yep. We don't do it.
Well, the New World Order is kind of like cancer. There's a big myth out there that it's an incurable disease.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, you see, they don't want to tell you that the cure is really simple. But the fact is, the disease really isn't the evil that's going on. It's the apathy. The most nauseating thing to me is that there are people willing to Google you and take the lowest common denominator of the nastiest thing that some idiot said out of his delusional mind. I had somebody when I traveled around 12 years ago in the Prophecy Club, after I traveled to 42 cities in Israel, wrote a book with extensive documentation that I'm the Antichrist. I'm thinking, now here's a person that has significant problems that I'm not going to recommend he take Prozac because he might become a murderer or a serial killer, but he definitely needs some psychological assistance.
Oh, I'm not sure, Bill, because I don't know. I think you're the Antichrist.
Like, I tell people, if you start worshiping me, you're in big trouble. I only want people to wake up. See, the reason why they make heroes, you know why they make heroes? So you don't need to do anything. Hey, he's so smart, so this, that. And then if the heroes fall, they say, see, not only could I not do what the hero did when he was doing the right thing, look at how far he fell. So I don't need to do a damn thing. I can let the earth go to hell in a handcart. And who cares if 2 centuries from now you have to live in domed cities, and if you go outside you have to wear a radiation suit and oxygen pack or you'll die within minutes. That's the world we're facing. The world is dying of apathy and dying of cowardice and jellyfish backboneless people who want to attack the messenger and not get out there and face the music of the real truth of what's happening. That's the problem.
Well, the mainstream media is covering up Fukushima just like they covered up Chernobyl, and Chernobyl is nothing compared to this. I mean, there's a mainstream media article, Bill. You'll crack up at this. It said, oh, it's 20% worse than Chernobyl. Oh, my God. Chernobyl didn't even go into meltdown. Chernobyl wasn't even online for like 40 years or something. Chernobyl didn't have that many years of spent fuel rods stored on top of reactors, 3 of which blew sky high in a spectacular fashion and are currently melting down and they're popping hundreds of tons of highly radioactive water, dumping it into the ocean and the water table. And you say it's 20% worse, you say?
Well, we know, we've calculated on already that we're estimating it's at least 70 times worse than Chernobyl. And we know that there was around roughly 1.5 million, with an M, tons of radioactive water that was dumped into the Pacific Ocean. And this is a constant nuclear sore. And in the words of Michio Kaku, the physicist, Japanese specialist from Japan, he said, they aren't even into the, we'll call it, shutdown phase where they contain it. We're looking at years of this spewing radiation into the air and water that'll bioaccumulate, and the lower, shorter-acting isotopes like radioiodine only lasts four half-lives, which is 32 days, but the ones that are intermediate last 250 years, strontium-90 and cesium-137, that will cause, like cesium causes breast cancer, strontium-90 will cause children's bone cancer, and then the longer isotopes like plutonium last 22,000-year half-life, so 150,000 years, what, you know, give or take a few tens of thousands of years. And the really big one is uranium that has a half-life of 4.7 billion years. So long after the sun is a dead cinder in a dying galaxy and a planet and a universe that is collapsing towards a new singularity, they'll still be suffering from Fukushima.
Yep. It seems
and people don't get this. They don't understand the burden.
Hold on a second. Wasn't there some kind of Bible verse or whatever saying that a third of the life in the oceans would die in the end times? You know, my take is that the New World Order scumbags have got the technology to make all this kind of stuff happen anyway, and they're just using the Book of Revelations as a playbook to make all the Christians stand down.
Absolutely.
And then they're going to have some kind of a big false event where God or aliens or some crap will turn up and everybody will be like, oh, whoopsie daisy, you know, let's have a great big global world government because we're all just one species and it's us versus the galaxy or whatever.
Yeah, I know. It'll be another Star Wars. It'll be another big blockbuster movie, but it'll only be in 4D rather than 3D.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that we're being manipulated into a whole paradigm shift that is all being, they're steering the global consciousness toward their idea, their track, their timeline of what they want to unveil. The thing is, if you call it, they call it remote viewing. I call it just prophesying. But the current term, they call it remote viewing, which really isn't correct. Because I believe it's just part of the nature of what we are. And some of us have more of that skill than others, but, you know, either by nature or by practice. The fact is that the globalists know that they've looked into the future, and guess what? They checked at the last pages of the book and said, what the heck? We're not in the last chapters of this book.
And they aren't happy about it, ladies and gentlemen, and they're going to take it out on you. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break with Dr. Bill Daigle. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We're now joined for a panel discussion by a fabulous YouTuber who has only just woken up in the fragile red state of China. And recently he's been uploading an awful lot of blogs on YouTube about his thoughts on the current economic crisis and New World Order in general. And we thought it prudent to have him on the show. It's a little bit unexpected on my part, and I believe this is probably my fault. But in either case, we have Bill Daigle and our very special guest who's now going to introduce himself.
Right, thanks, Vinny. Well, it all started about last May, actually, when I was going through the internet and, you know, like many people, I'd basically bought the official 9/11 story. I assumed that there must be these Muslims out there who really hated America very much because of all the terrible things America has done. And so, you know, obviously I found it plausible, and I'd seen lots of attack pieces on the truth movement by comedians like Bill Maher, Penn and Teller, and so on. I'd seen the way David Icke was treated. So there was no incentive for me to go there. You know, like many people, I was living in with my head in the sand. I assumed that there was no truth in any of this stuff. And the media made it very clear that anyone who investigated issues such as this was obviously one can short of a six-pack. So, you know, even though I really opposed U.S. policy in terms of the wars that they make in Afghanistan and Iraq and so on, the basic premise of why this whole thing kicked off, about the 19 Arab terrorists armed with box cutters and with indestructible bandanas and so on, and passports that wouldn't burn, I accepted as a sort of article of faith. And of course, what they did was very clever, Vinny, because if you cast your mind back to 2001, in order to prevent people from thinking about this issue, they arranged lots of other activities to coincide with 9/11. For example, there was the anthrax business, which was a clear inside government job. And then, of course, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan followed very quickly, so that people of goodwill, people who hate war and like peace, had no opportunity to sort of sit back and think about what this whole thing was all about and why it all started. So we were kept on the back foot. The story about this whole thing, the script was already written. The night of the Patriot Act and other legislation had already been drafted. And the decisions on what to do with the anger that this event generated had already been made. Are you with me so far, Vinny?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So anyway, when I started to discover this, I mean, I know it sounds like I'm making this up. You know, people say I was up all night. But literally, for a month, I really was up all night. I was sleeping in the day and researching at night. And the more I looked into it and the more I compared the official story with the alternative narrative, the more I realized that the official story was, in fact, not demonstrably false and a pack of lies with no truth in it whatsoever. So, you know, there's always an issue in the truth movement about, you know, we're supposed to prove exactly what happened and who did what and when and so on. For me, that's less of an issue because I think most of us have now come to the conclusion, have seen categorically using demonstrable logic and scientific-based research that the official story is totally untrue, and therefore we realize a great crime has been committed. And now researchers around the world, independent researchers obviously because the government aren't helping us, are having to try and work out what exactly did happen using our own limited resources. But I think we can all agree that whatever did happen on 9/11, it was not what the government said. I don't know if the doctor there in California would like to comment on anything I've just said.
Yeah, everything you said is absolutely right on. I think what you do first is you get, as you said, a kind of a truth gestalt. You kind of put it all together and it has to look like the pieces of the puzzle, even though you don't have all the pieces, sort of are in the right places on the table. And then you try to, you know, it's just like scientific discovery or like when Michelangelo would look at a block of marble, he could already see the statue in the marble, and he chipped away at the rock so that the statue could be revealed. The same with the truth of 9/11. What you're saying is you looked at it and you say, doesn't smell like it's the truth, looks like vomit, looks like a lie, I don't think I believe it, and I'm going to look at an alternative. And then you start to pulling together some facts, and some of them are really hard facts I call level one facts. Some are level two, some are level three, are kind of, you know, on the shelf. But you pull it together enough, you say, gee, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I do have a lot better, really good questions. And that's
just like a jigsaw, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a jigsaw. And as you get deeper and deeper into this, you get more and more enraged by the fact that they purposely have made sure the pieces of the puzzle are separated, or they suppress the truth. They make sure it doesn't have an open discussion. They won't bring on experts like myself on major media because I presented 4 years ago at the Vancouver 9/11 conference proof that there were almost 40 anomalies that showed that besides high explosives like super thermite, they used micro nukes inside the World Trade Center. And I presented the data that they had, for example, 55 times the upper limit of normal background tritium in the water of building number 6, plus many other anomalies, including, you know, aluminized engine blocks blowing and aluminized mirrors and plenum chambers of air conditioners blowing because they're made of aluminum, all kinds of other anomalies that showed that they used nuclear demolition. Just look at the debris pile. Look at the mass of the buildings.
I'm not an expert on this matter, and you don't actually have to be. Me, personally, the jury is out on what it was exactly that brought down the World Trade Center. Right. I am familiar with the directed energy theory and also the mini nukes theory. I've always found the Thermate theory the most plausible, but I'm not ruling out the other theories.
The Thermate theory cannot explain the whole thing, and I'll tell you why. Because the mass of the building, more than one-third of the mass of the building was turned to an atomic vapor and blew away. So it's not even in the debris pile. So Thermate would have left the mass there. That's number one. Directed energy weapons, you'd have to have a nuclear-type explosion, and you would have an asymmetric fall of the building because you have to hit it from outside, and therefore the building would fall over like a domino. So the only thing, and I have this from actual munitions experts in Finland that actually sent me the documents that they were recruited to actually give a quote for the demolition of the World Trade Center towers because they were sick buildings. They were told back in the 80s they had to remediate them, and they were going to cost between $1.5 to $2 billion per floor of the World Trade Center tower to remove 1.5 to 2 inches of high fiber asbestos from the inside pillars of the building. As a result, the buildings were basically giant elephants that couldn't be insured. They managed to get them double insured, so you know, these criminals, which is a Blackstone group and George Soros, demolished the buildings while, again, Odigo, the messaging company from Israel, wasn't there. All kinds of other people were not there because the word got out, and this is another one of these, quote, anomalies, that only a tiny fraction of people that died that would have otherwise died. 3,000 being in those buildings when the mall and the two towers of Building 7 and Building 6, if they were all filled, there would have been over 30,000 people in those buildings.
Yeah, so the terrorists seemed very keen not to minimize casualties, didn't they? I mean, they chose
they figured we need to have enough dead in order to justify more illegal wars because, as I said in the first hour, how did our oil get under Saddam Hussein's Iraq? So, two illegal wars, trillions of dollars of debt, and again, what they're doing now is blowing up the world with this debt bomb. And it's designed to bring in a new financial system. So, as I say, you don't have to have all the answers. What you do, whether or not you agree with my thesis, which, by the way, once I get the final radiation testing, it'll close the gate on whether they use directed energy weapons or nukes. I know from my contacts deep inside the government, they used a combination of explosives, including super thermite and micronukes, not directed energy weapons. And the reason why I know about directed energy weapons as well is having a background in nuclear physics, is I work for U.S. Space Command and their space-based weapons platform and space-based directed energy weapons. And there is no way that a directed energy weapon in a nearby building could have caused a symmetric collapse of the building on its own footprint. It's not possible. That's just a physical fact.
And my to dumb it down, basically, and we do have a dumbed-down mass, but I don't think we have a dumbed-down audience here on this show, but the shorthand is... Here's your test of whether or not 9/11 was an inside job. Have you gone to your barbecue? Turn the grill on. Okay. Now, first test. Does the grill melt? No. Second test. Does the barbecue explode into particleized dust? No. 9/11 was an inside job.
I think for me, Vinny, and not only is this all very convincing, you know, when you look at the fake witnesses that the media interviewed on 9/11, like the infamous Harley man and the fake hard hat guys, I don't know if you recall that SUV full of hard hatted guys claiming to have been with a super on the roof of Park Place. Totally, totally fake. Just actors reading from a script, really. And then, of course, the engine part, which was discovered, which didn't even correspond to the right engine. It wasn't even from a 767, and then of course the so-called experts who claim that, you know, the planes had 90,000 liters of fuel. Well, apparently the version of the 767 that hit the South Tower was a 200 version, and apparently that maximum fuel of that particular model, according to Wikipedia at least, is 60,000 liters. So, you know, I mean, Thomas Eger and Chris Moore, who was debating debating Richard Gage in one video I've seen on YouTube, was claiming 90,000 liters. So in order to make their theory more credible, they have to lie and exaggerate everything. I mean, as if an aircraft flying from Boston to Los Angeles, which is already past New York and has had to turn back, could perhaps hit the World Trade Center. I mean, of course, we know that no plane hit the World Trade Center, in my opinion, with a completely full tank of fuel, kerosene. You know, aviation fuel sounds very exciting to the average person, but from my research, it's just kerosene. And you can put kerosene in a fire at home, and it can burn all day, and it won't melt. And
it's still grating in your fireplace or anything. It does nothing.
Yes, and that's why I do recommend a superb documentary that I personally respect. There's many I do respect, but I don't know if you've seen 9/11 Demolitions. That's a particularly good one, and does go into the science in a very matter of fact way. I think the narration by a lady, I think Sheila Shakar, I think her name is. Are you familiar with that, Vinny? 9/11 Demolitions?
No, not really. But as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of different theories about 9/11 and a lot of different evidence for 9/11. I mean, I've interviewed, three different groups of people. There's Dr. Judy Wood with the directed free energy weapons technology that may have been used there. And there's a lot of evidence for that. It's very strange occurrences indeed. Like the toasty cars is a big one. Google that.
Yeah, I'll tell you why, Vinny. It's very important to understand.
I just wanted to finish because there's that theory. Then, of course, there's Dmitry Khalazov and his nuke theory. And then, of course, there's the Richard Gage idea about the controlled demolition. And in my opinion, it might actually be a combination of all of the above, so that everybody everybody argues for one way or the other, not realizing that they're all right and they're all wrong.
Well, let me explain. The micro nukes are a form of directed energy weapon. These new tunable nukes can generate energy that can be very specific to a certain energy spectrum. So if you want to have a nuke that generates only a nuclear device that only generates gamma rays or the electromagnetic pulse or neutrons, like the neutron weapon, we have those. We've had them for four decades plus. What you're right, there's a combination. But the reason why we have to know that the central part of the demolition was nuclear, whether you call it a nuclear directed energy weapon that's inside like a chain of pearls inside the building, because it had to be inside, is this. And I have this from my classified sources. Their next plan, and I work with Special Forces in Delta and Colorado and other places, and I've confronted them directly, and they've told me they've been doing war game simulations for nukes going on in multiple cities in the United States, where they won't just blow up a few buildings. They'll blow up 30 or 40 blocks with a nuke much bigger than the ones that blew up Nagasaki and Hiroshima, where they'll have millions of Americans dead and every burn unit in North America and Europe filled. So it's important to discern this. This is why I'm really working so hard and have been given threats repeatedly that if I do the testing, and I've been told this by the Department of Defense, if I do the request to test in Canada, Britain, or America at any of my labs, including my alma mater, for radiotoxicology and plasma neutron spectroscopy, which will close the gate on this completely, the real issue is they want nukes to go off. And the reason why it has to be a nuke, okay, is that they want to blame it on the Waziristani nukes in Pakistan, which is why the recent so-called nighttime, I guess he must be part cat, death of Osama bin Laden, because they want to invade Pakistan, which is why they're so desperate. They want to invade Iran because they want to defang these Islamic countries that have nukes. The fact is that they want to have terrorism in America, and they want it to be nuclear so they can close society down completely and control shows like this, make sure everybody is being monitored, and they want to make certain they blame the fact that Pakistanis couldn't even tell them where Saddam Osama.
Indeed. And then they'll pose as the freaking saviors. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, the Hegelian dialectic in a nutshell. We'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. They'll smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
That's what we need to know.
I'm flying a JFK.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guests, Dr. Bill Daigle, and Paul Taylor as well, joining us live from Beijing, China, behind the Great Firewall of China.
It's not working very well. There's many ways to get around it, you know. I mean, even before I
used... the Mongols figured that out too, bro.
Even allowing for not using a proxy, actually, I could do a lot of research. 95% of what I wanted to do can easily be achieved. The only reason I personally use a proxy is because of YouTube. China has its equivalents, but they're all in Chinese. So that doesn't have the research material that I personally need. I can live without Facebook, and just about every news source that I personally require is available. Obviously, there are more restrictions for Chinese speakers, but let's not exaggerate. There are actual good public security reasons why the Chinese may not wish all their data and traffic to go via US servers. Don't forget the enormous data mining potential of Google software. Obviously, it would suit the United States if everyone used their software and their websites. That would be ideal from their point of view. So from China's national security perspective, there is a legitimate reason why they don't want to use American versions of software that they can quite easily create themselves. And I myself find it very inconvenient that YouTube is blocked. I'm totally against censorship. But censorship exists in all jurisdictions. There is enormous censorship in the West. People in America have bailed for transmitting Hezbollah TV station, for example. So freedom doesn't really exist anywhere. And I also want to draw your attention to John Hill in the UK, who was sent to jail for like 6 months simply for sending some DVDs to the court about the 7th of July false flag event. So let's be honest about this. The freedom doesn't exist anywhere in the world, but it might exist in our own mind and amongst like-minded people. Freedom is something that you have to keep inside you. But you can't rely on the state to give you freedom. You've got to keep your mind free by not believing the bullshit. And by every time you read about some event, something like 9/11, for example, or any terrorist
event. And by the way, we're under FCC regulations. You have to say BS, but continue.
Okay. Yes, I don't know what I said. BS. I apologize.
Yeah, I mean, that's the initials of the President of America, Barry Satoru, or President President BS for short.
Well, it's all about public relations, isn't it? I mean, I think they decided that Obama, the advertising agency that chooses the U.S. president and gives America a selection of kosher people to vote for, thought, well, you know what? I think it'd be pretty cool if we could, you know, get someone like, you know, Obama with a dark skin. You know, then we can say that, you know, in America, everyone could become president. You know, and a lot of people, you know, think, gee, you know, wow, what a wonderful country, Barack Obama.
It's true. Even illegal immigrants who are con men can become president.
Yeah, without a birth certificate.
Yeah, exactly.
And with a serial adulterer as a father. But of course, Barack Obama's mother is Jewish. Actually, I think that's a very important fact to mention, because when you have a Jewish mother, you are de facto Jewish. And obviously, it's a bit...
What are you saying, that Judaism is a race?
No, but if you have a Jewish... It's a religion, but it's a religion. Jewish people, for all their faults, do look after each other, and they work very much as a team. And this is why they're very difficult to argue with Jewish people, because they have a game plan, which no other group of people has. So they're similar to Freemasons, if you like. They, you know, it's like, you know, a nod and a wink, a special handshake or a kind of gang sign, and then people are on board. And I say that as someone who's got a Jewish father. I'm not Jewish myself, because my mother's not Jewish. But if I did have a Jewish mother, then I would probably, I'd probably feel differently to the way I do now. You know, blood is thicker than water, they say. So yeah. I think Obama's policies, to call him a Muslim and stuff, is a trick. You know, even though Obama's policies have been extremely pro-Israel, they have to pretend that they're not pro-Israel enough. So now in the United States, Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann And Michelle Bachmann, by the way, to digress somewhat, I've just read something about what she claimed. She claimed she was in Israel as on a kibbutz in 1974. And this kibbutz is like 8 kilometers from the modern Gaza border. And she was claiming that she was escorted by soldiers every morning between 4 a.m. and 12. And that there were landmines in the area. And I think anyone who does any research on this issue will see that she's exaggerating and lying, a bit like Hillary Clinton in Bosnia, who claims she came under sniper attack when she didn't. This is just another example of politicians lying. And there's so many others, it's unbelievable. I don't know if Bill has any comments on that.
Well, you know, I was wondering what would be rarer, is an instance of a politician telling the truth.
Well, actually, that probably happens accidentally, or if they get the wrong teleprompter.
Yeah. There's got to be some real talented hackers out there who could hack Barack H. O'Barry's teleprompter into telling the truth.
It would probably take Obama 10 minutes to realize he's not actually on message. You know, he probably wouldn't realize it, because this is something I dislike about modern politics. I think teleprompters shouldn't be allowed. Any politician who wants the job should, like us, speak without a prompter. None of us have got prompters. I speak as I feel. I speak as I think. And there's no reason why any politician shouldn't. But they've got to smile into the camera. They seem to be looking into your eyes.
No. I totally disagree. Barack H. O'Barry has this kind of Stevie Wonder move, where his kind of head bobbles from one teleprompter to the other, and his eye line only barely flicks across the audience and the camera, and he goes to his next teleprompter mission. And, it would be pretty interesting to see him there, you know, President B.S. giving his speech, and he says, 9/11 was an inside job. Our government set us up in order to invade Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm going to be pulling all the troops out, and we're going to be taking the fluoride out of the water because it's absolutely poisonous, and we've been taking it from the phosphate fertilizer industry for too long. And I'm going to outlaw Coca-Cola because it burns through your colon like there's no business tomorrow, like a burrito with extra guacamole sauce.
Yeah, he could actually do a monologue for 5 minutes and blow every single conspiracy theory that people think is a theory and say, look, now we've heard it from BS. We know it's not BS.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they'd say, oh, well, that proves he's a Muslim. You know what I mean?
BS is actually, he's a chameleon. He can be anything he wants. He can be pro-life. He can be pro-abortion. He can be Muslim. He can be Jew. He's a black man. He's a white man. He's a high-level Mason. He's whatever you want. He's the universal toy of the New World Order.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I did a video on this about, you know, who I admired in politics. And although there are a lot of people I respect, unfortunately, when you become powerful, you either get corrupted, or as you sense victory, the Bilderberg Group invite you in for a private meeting and explain that if you want to be president, you can, but only on the following conditions. So I don't see much hope for politics. I think Western-style democracy has failed, is failing, and cannot succeed. We need to think of a new method of governance. I want to see a lot less governance. I want to see a lot less law. I want to see a lot less politicians. And I want them to do a lot less. I don't like rules and regulations, and I don't want any more initiatives.
Well, you know what? I don't think that they could possibly be doing less. You know what I think? I think the people need to do more. I think that politics needs to become more open source and interactive for all the general public, and that people need to basically have all the powers and prestige taken out of the whole thing about being a parliamentarian. Being a parliamentarian, I feel, should be like jury service. Very lowly paid, extremely inconvenient, and nobody wants to do it because it's real boring. That's what politics should be, and having no power whatsoever and acting under the direction of a whole bunch of other people. That's what politics should be. And now with the internet, I have no doubt that we can do an open source political platform where people are literally able to contribute to formation of policy online in full public view.
So who's going to control the software?
With the,
No. Nobody's going to control the software. It's open source so that everybody can actually edit the software themselves. And everybody can like or dislike parts of it. And everybody can discuss. And that way, you really do have an accurate representation of what goes on, as opposed to what the media shells out at the moment, which is just basically a whole bunch of BS that they're paid to spout out and whatnot, and in order to deceive everybody and for voting for somebody who's going to screw them over after the next election.
But, Vinny, it's not in human nature to agree. Unfortunately, people like to take positions. If I say, you know, let's all have fish, then for sure somebody who even likes fish will say, no, I think we should have chicken. Another person will say, let's have a vegetarian meal. You know, I mean, it isn't in, that is why every election, wherever it's held in any country in the world, is never really decided by a majority. Because, like in the United States, for example, you know, 40 to 50% of people never vote. So they're not satisfied with the system.
Yeah.
And then
You're right, actually. It is a small, determined minority that always makes the difference, because the minority have the majority have ultimately never mattered, because they're never the ones that come up with all the revolutionary ideas. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests have been Dr. Bill Deagle and Paul Taylor. You can check him out on YouTube and Bill Deagle at gcnlive.com. And we'll be back with more installments of the fabulous Vinnie Eastwood Show, made fabulous by our marvelous guests. Catch you later, ladies and gentlemen.